Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
We love our time with Jason Wilde. 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Hello.
We're good. We were just talking about the Super League. We'll shelve that for a moment and talk a little green and gold.
Wait, like with Aquaman and Batman and they're at the
Super
Hall of
Friends.
Justice?
So good.
Oh, sorry. Wrong one. My bad. No. The Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin powers activate.
Exactly.
Form of an ice cube.
Right.
One of
Form
them loved
of a
ice.
Bucket of water.
Jason. I see this news that Adam Schefter reported yesterday. No, you're good. About Joey Lane. I got to be honest with you. I was not familiar with Joey Lane's work, but apparently he is leaving the Green Bay Packers to take a job with the Seattle Seahawks. This comes several weeks before the draft, when it feels like salary cap and the things that Joey Lane was responsible for are important. How big of a loss is this for Green Bay?
So I hate to admit this, because I like people to believe that I know what I'm talking about. And I think I do most of the time. I didn't know who Joey Lane was either when I saw it. And I would say this, Chad Brinker, who was in kind of that role previously, had been there for a very long time. He was kind of like Russ Ball's right-hand man. And I think they were actually grooming Chad to be kind of the next Russ Ball eventually when Russ retired. And Chad Brinker got an opportunity with the Tennessee Titans and is there. And now he's their Russ Ball, basically. And so I think Joey was kind of the next guy that they were grooming. His time not nearly as lengthy as Chad's at learning at the knee of Russ Ball. And so, I think that there's – one of the things the Packers are really good at, if you look at their personnel department, if you look at their coaching staff, at least in previous years, I think Matt LaFleur kind of started with a pretty young staff. So I think it's taken a little while longer for people to recognize that they've got some good coaches. But they develop from within pretty darn well. So I'm sure the next Joey or Chad or Chandler or whoever it might be next, Ross, will be good.
Jason, going back to the owners' meeting, did anything ever come of officiating or replay, or do they just out of sight, out of mind? We'll wait next year until they start, till the fans start complaining about it again. Was there any discussion?
Yeah, I don't think there was any like substantive discussion about making changes. What were you thinking they might discuss to change?
Full-time referees. There's going to be more training. I love the idea. I forget what was it, LSU that was using virtual reality?
Yes.
The quarterback there, something. I mean, we're going to complain about it again, but is it just kind of like, out of sight, out of mind?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that they have really improved on in that arena. And the biggest thing, and I'm still not sure I understand exactly how they did it, but what they basically did was created a sky judge without actually like having a sky judge, you know, like they've got that kind of nerve center in New York where they've got all these folks watching the games and radioing into the earpieces of the referee. If there's something that needs to be discussed. And then we get that after further discussion, they change a call where there's not a challenge. There's not a announcement like they have in college football. The previous play is under review. Like, and I think that that has been a really good addition, because I think that has corrected a huge number of mistakes before they became controversial or before coaches had to challenge. I think the trend has been And I think this is important, and I think it's a good idea because it also accelerates the speed of the game, is let's try and limit what coaches can or need to challenge, right? Like, you know, obviously one of the plays that would have been replayed, and we always talk about this because it was the play that I believe led directly to the return of instant replay, was the Jerry Rice fumble in San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was could not have been a more clear recovery and a clear fumble, and it was poorly officiated, and it leads to T.O.'s catch and you guys losing. In a year, by the way, that despite all the drama with Holmgren and the expectation of him leaving and him cursing out or giving the finger to the fan against Philly at home, that I always thought you guys, Dorsey was back healthy, Brett played really well in that game. I always thought you guys, if you could have won that game, it would have been really interesting to see if you would have made it to a third Super Bowl. But I digress. My point is that type of play, one of the things they did right away was turnover plays are automatically reviewed, right? Touchdowns and turnover plays, because they're such important plays. And then they extend what officials have now done, which I think is smart, is when there is a play that is borderline a turnover or borderline a touchdown, they've been logical about it and said, okay, we're going to call it a turnover or call it a touchdown, so then it automatically gets reviewed, as opposed to in the Jerry Rice case, before they had replay, they didn't rule it a fumble. And in today's game, if you don't rule it a fumble right away, it wouldn't have been automatically reviewed. And so what I'm saying is that while there are always, you're right, there's always going to be complaints, there's always going to be missed calls, I think that they have done an outstanding job of mitigating just how frequently they screw stuff up. Because Lord knows, with the number of plays and nuances in today's game, there is the opportunity to screw up a lot. And I think their batting average is pretty high.
Jason, what do you think is the next step? We keep on talking about Jordan Love and his growth and what he did at the end of last season. What do you think are those next steps for Jordan Love to continue the success and even maybe even get better than what he did in the second half of last season?
Well, I thought one thing that he got better at during the second half of last season, from my perspective, was that he was a little more careful when he ran. I know he and I would joke around in the locker room a little bit. And again, I am a helicopter parent and a helicopter beat writer, but you know, I really enjoy our relationship. And he kind of got bad. He got after me for being such a worrier. But when he would run, I thought he put himself in harm's way. And I recall the conversation that Mike McCarthy had with Aaron Rodgers early in his time as the starter, about how you have to recognize how frickin' good you are and how important you are to what we do here. And McCarthy was basically, look, we love your toughness, we love your fearlessness, but you're too important to do that kind of stuff. And it took Rodgers a while to fully embrace that, right? Like, he got that concussion in... He got one in Tampa in 09, if I remember right, and then he got another one in against Washington in 10, and that was the one that caused him to miss the New England game.
No, he got another one, Jason, against Detroit. He had two that
year. Yeah, I remember that.
The Detroit one was the worst one, but he also got those other ones too, and it led to, obviously, what I was just talking about, kind of a revisiting of, dude, we talked about this. What are you doing? And so, you know, I do think that one of the things that Jordan needs to continue to pay attention to is that, because he had that one run. You guys, I can't remember who it was against. It was at Lambeau. And he takes off, and he goes up the left sideline, the visitor sideline, and it looks like he's going to go out of bounds. And instead, he... cuts back into the field of play and gains like another 10 yards. And like the cameras even caught him smiling as he went back to the huddle. And I thought, okay, that was awesome. Like, that was really like effective. And then I thought, I wonder if LaFleur's going to get after him a little bit, because it was also risky. And so that's one thing that, for me at least, brings to mind immediately. I think the biggest thing for him to continue his very clear upward trajectory will be, how do you handle the counter moves that are coming now from opposing defenses? And Chewy knows this as well as anyone. The NFL is all about, okay, we're doing this well. We know that defenses are going to figure out how to stop it. And it's now our responsibility, whether it's the coaches or the players, obviously it's both, to figure out, okay, we were doing this well. They have figured out a way to stifle that. Now, how do we figure out a way to do something else that they can't stop either? And so I think that's kind of the obvious next progression, is they're going to defenses now know what he's really good at. They know what types of routes he throws really well, what types of routes his guys really run well. Everything that's effective, everything that worked last season, they have it all on film now from those last 10 games. They're going to have a better idea of how to stop it. Now, what are LaFleur and Love and Stenovich and all these guys going to do to counteract that?
Jason, before we let you go, there is some there are some rumblings about the Packers moving up. Apparently, it's the worst-kept secret in the offseason that the Packers are one of three teams rumored to be interested in trading up to number 16, which is the Seattle Seahawks spot. That would, of course, put them in the top 20 and maybe help them land, you know, one of those guys that they are really interested in having on their roster. Are you hearing any rumblings of that, and would it surprise you if the Packers decided to trade into the top 20?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And I have not heard specific rumblings of that, because I'm not talking to those types of people, and Goody doesn't necessarily confide in me about that kind of stuff. I would say this, in the words of the great American orator Mark Tauscher, no blank blank. They have 5 picks in the first 2 days, a first, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. And Goody has said on multiple occasions that it gives you the flexibility to move around. Now, remember, while he has been more aggressive than his predecessor, Ted Thompson, with moving around the board a little bit, there are years where he has sat and picked where he picked every single time, where he was scheduled to pick, or at least close to it, until he kind of get into the wacky moving around stuff toward the end of day 3. And so he has dropped plenty of breadcrumbs that this is something that they will be more than willing to do based on the ammunition they have, because they have the Jets' second-round pick, because they have the Bills' third-round pick from the Rasul Douglas trade, because they got a fifth-round pick in compensatory picks to make up for the fifth-round pick they included going to the Bills in the Rasul Douglas trade. So he is I think he has said it so many times that I fully expect them to at least try to move up. How high from 25 to 16? I don't know what I don't have the draft value chart in front of me, what they'd have to give up to move up those 9 spots. But yeah, I have, because the other part of it is they have 11 picks. Last year, I think they had 13, Keith, if I'm right.
Yes.
And they kept almost all of them. They, like, when you have that many guys and that many guys from the previous 2 drafts that you like, you don't necessarily want to add 11 more, because you know Goody wants to keep them all, right? And so it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up only taking 9 players instead of 11. So that makes perfect sense. That doesn't surprise me at all. My question would be, I would love to know who they are targeting. One of my favorite stories ever is when Goody told us for the end of, he was talking about Ted, and he said Ted used to always have a guy that was his like favorite guy. And Jordy Nelson is the most memorable example of this. And he would actually hide that player on their draft board. Like, he would give him a demonstrably lower grade than he should have had, so he was in a later round than he should have been in, and all the scouts, that it was like the parlor game in the scouting department trying to figure out who Ted's guy was. And Goody was so proud, because he figured out the year that they drafted Jordy that Jordy was that guy. And I'm curious now if there is either that type of guy on Goody's board or if there is a specific guy in the first round, because the other great story is about how Ted Thompson went to the USC Pro Day and fell in love with Clay Matthews the minute he was there in L.A.
Why? And did he think there was a rat, Jason?
No, he just, I think he liked how he kind of kept that to himself. Like, that's my guy. And okay. They all knew he was doing that. And Lord knows, between Ted and, I mean, I got Schneider in trouble a couple times because he told me stuff that Ted didn't want him telling reporters. So I don't think he thought there was a rat. I think he just thought, this is my thing, and I'm going to, I'm going to surprise these guys. And the fact that they would spend every year trying to figure out who it was. My point is that if they're trading up, I'd love to know who they're trading up for, because one of the stories that I would love to get to the bottom of someday, I know I'm rambling, I'll be done in a second, was they traded up to 26 before they knew who was going to be at 26 in 2020. And there were multiple reports that they traded up for Brandon Ayuk. And then remember, the 49ers went in one pick ahead of them, traded up to 25, and took Ayuk. And the Packers' history looks a lot different if the 49ers don't make that trade and Brandon Ayuk and Jordan Love are both on the board. Who do they pick then? And how much credit are we giving, Brian Gutekunst for his visionary of, hey, picking the next great quarterback 3 years before you need him, if those two are available and he takes Brandon Ayuk instead? So he is never, unlike other predecessors of his, I have not cracked that nut to get him to tell me what would have happened. But that is always going to be one thing that I will wonder, because obviously it's worked out great for them.
Great stories, great insight, Jason. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Talish right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna, right? We've all had those moments walking through an expo center and thinking, ooh, that is interesting. I might want to own one of those. Well, that's how it went for me in the Good Health Sauna, and I am so happy that I finally went and got one, because it feels great after my workouts. I am sleeping better. And guys, when I was on vacation last week, I actually missed my sauna. That's how beneficial it is just to my daily life, because I sleep better and my skin feels better and my recovery from my workouts is better. And so with all of those things being better, why wouldn't you invest in your health and wellness and longevity with a Good Health Sauna? You can go to their website. That's where you can see all of the infrared saunas that they have to offer. That website is goodhealthsaunas.com, goodhealthsaunas.com. And if you talk to them, tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.